All right, so let's dig into God's word a little bit this morning. As most of you know, over the past few weeks, we've been exploring what it means to live open-heartedly with God, as I've been talking about just removing all the layers that we put on ourselves, not pretending, not trying to make ourselves look better, but just being vulnerable with God and presenting to Him to ourselves just as we are. We talked about how much God desires that in us, just to come to Him openly and honestly, and trusting Him with everything about ourselves. We talked about how powerful that is when we live it out in community. We've considered living a life of invitation and the sacred work that is of making space for others to come into our lives just as they are. All of this centered on this idea of just opening ourselves up and inviting other people to open themselves up. This week, I want to close this series out by considering one essential ingredient that makes all of that possible. And that ingredient is grace. The kind of grace I'm talking about is not just polite kindness or surface-level tolerance of other people, but a radical grace, the kind of grace that Jesus embodied. It's a grace we have to take a close look at and consider as we really look at how Jesus lived His life. This is the kind of grace that welcomes the prodigal son with open arms before he has even had a chance to apologize. It's the kind of grace that openly shares meals with sinners. And the kind of grace that says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And makes that invitation without any condition at all. Just come. It's the kind of grace that looks at you and me when we were spiritually dead in our sin, when we are at our worst, and stretches out His hands, saying, "Take my life instead of theirs." This is a grace that Jesus offers all people. This is the grace He's extended to you and me, and He pours it out to us each and every day. Every time we come to Him, knowing we have sinned again, we have fallen short of the life that He desires for us, once again, He is there to meet us with grace. And this is the kind of grace we're called to extend to other people. Every other human being, even those who currently reject Jesus and embrace a life of sin. Because grace isn't a reward for having gotten it right. It's where life in Christ begins. Grace is the open door. It's the invitation that says, "Come." And that grace fuels and ignites the transformation that God brings into our lives. There's this beautiful picture of the power of grace in Luke chapter 7 that I want to look at this morning. So let's open up to Luke 7. We're going to read verses 36 through 50 together. So Luke chapter 7. Luke 7, starting in verse 36. Says, "One of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answering said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' And he answered, 'Say it, teacher.' So Jesus says, 'A certain money lender who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more?' Simon answered, 'The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt.' And he said to him, 'You have judged rightly.' Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and then wiped them off with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. And you did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So consider this scenario. Jesus is invited into the home of a prominent religious leader for a meal. I'm sure it was a nice place. Jesus was warmly welcomed and treated with hospitality. And then this woman, a known sinner, makes her way in and spoils everything in the Pharisees' eyes. She cries nonstop, letting her tears fall all over his honored guest's feet. She makes a scene by wiping them off with her hair. She kisses his feet and pours perfume on him. What a nightmare for this Pharisee to have this woman creating such a scene. He's watching all this thinking Jesus can't possibly be a prophet. So he's doubting Jesus' credibility because surely if he truly was a prophet, he would reject this woman as a sinner. Jesus knows what this Pharisee's thinking. He could probably see it on his face. And before he even says something, Jesus poses this question about the moneylender, forgiving debt. See, Jesus receives this woman with grace. He knows she's a sinner. But he knows that she needs acceptance, forgiveness, love in order to overcome the sin. Jesus has honestly received both the woman and the Pharisee in this scenario. The Pharisee doesn't realize how much grace he needs. The debt of sin Jesus forgives has so much more impact on the woman because she is a great sinner and she is aware of her sin and she knows how much Jesus is giving her grace. Jesus pours out this grace, and her great demonstration of love is a reaction to the radical grace that Jesus has shown her. Simon probably felt he was honoring Jesus greatly simply by inviting him to his home because he's a prominent religious leader who's earned credibility and a position of honor in the community. But the woman's expression of love and gratitude and relief is so great because of the magnitude of grace of Jesus' grace toward her, receiving her even in her sin and accepting her just as she is, inviting her into his life. Recognize her knowledge of how great that grace is. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, are we more like Simon, guarded, suspicious of people, judgmental, because we are comfortable with our position in Jesus? Or are we more like the woman, completely undone by the grace of Jesus? She can't contain herself with the joy and the gratitude she has because of how much Jesus has overlooked and accepted. It is so easy for us to slip into a mindset that because we have accepted Jesus and we have an understanding of what sin is, that we are somehow beyond the need for grace now ourselves and that we have been called to ensure other people live a sinless lives. It gets wrapped into our culture in so many ways. But it's important to remember that we have every reason to identify with the woman in the story. We are more like her if we recognize it. If the Pharisee took time to literally look at his own life, he would recognize that he was much more of a sinner than he recognized. None of us has earned Jesus' love. Jesus didn't select us because we're somehow better than other people. We have not proven ourselves worthy, even after accepting Christ, receiving his forgiveness, growing in our knowledge of the word, and living by faith. We still have not earned the worthiness of his love. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We must never forget that we have sinned against God. We are still in need of Jesus' grace today, and he still offers it freely to you no matter how much you have strayed from him. He still invites you to come. Come and be with him just as you are. It's that grace that makes that so powerful. His welcome and his acceptance. that Pharisee really understood the depths of his own sin, rather than considering himself better than that woman, he would have had a better understanding of the magnitude of Jesus' grace toward him, and he might have shown a much greater expression of gratitude toward Jesus. We need grace every single day. There's no comparison of people at the cross. There's only mercy and the need for forgiveness that God continues to offer. Jesus still invites you to come to him, to be with him just as you are. Now, in Christ, knowing him and walking by faith in him, we have been blessed through that faith. We have grown. We've received healing. We've overcome some of our sinful tendencies, but that does not make us better than any other person living in sin. It ought to give us compassion and drive us to pour out the grace that we have been so richly given. The Christian faith is not rooted in our ability to prove or earn our righteousness, but in the ongoing outpouring of Jesus' radical grace. It's that grace that gives us hope. It's that grace that empowers us. It's that grace that transforms us. And as a church of people who daily receive that grace, one of the clearest outward signs that we understand what a tremendous gift that is that we remember that grace is meant for everyone. Not just the insiders, not just the devout, but also for the skeptical, the rebellious, the wounded. It's for the critical and even the most sinful people that you can imagine. God wants to offer his grace to them. He wants to see them receive that grace and come to him. There is always hope for people. No one is ever too far gone, and Jesus continues to invite them in throughout their lives. God is willing and able to welcome in every single human soul. We hold out that hope as long as we live. In God's grace, he invites us, people who need him daily, to be his hands and his feet and to offer his heart to be vessels of his radical loving grace. So this is the power of open-heartedness when it meets grace. Open-heartedness is vulnerability. It risks rejection, exposes weakness and failure and poor choices. It says, yeah, I have sinned. I have fallen short. I'm not going to hide from it. I'm going to admit it. But there's a great risk in admitting to that. Jesus meets it with grace. That's the power of the transformation of the gospel. God doesn't ask us to make up for any of our failures or clean ourselves up before receiving him. He invites us to come close and to be fully seen and known by him. Grace loves and accepts us in our most vulnerable places. Grace makes room to be honest, to be broken, and to begin again in the present, to follow Jesus. When the church lives out that radical grace, when we receive people the way Jesus receives them, we become a place where transformation can begin in their lives. A transformation that can begin each and every day anew. Grace is what says, come as you are, and let's walk toward Jesus together. Grace opens the door that allows people to see Jesus through us. As I wrote this, I was reminded of some interactions I've had with a local man who made it clear that he was not a religious person. He was raised in a Christian home, but in the kind of Christian home where he was taught that he must live and behave in a certain way, that there were rules and there was judgment for everyone else who didn't live by those rules. That was his impression of Christianity. It's honestly the impression a lot of people have in Christianity. And when he and I got together and we talked about the common bond, the common thread that every person needs, love and acceptance. And I got to talk to him about God's grace and planted seeds of understanding that God invites them in. There are people out there, if they could just understand that God's invitation comes before they make any change in their lives, they begin to open their hearts up to him. Invitation is fueled by grace. Grace is what allows us to see more in people, to offer something to them, to invite them to come closer to Jesus. So when we understand this radical grace that Jesus has given us, we can ask ourselves, how am I responding to that? Are we living in love and gratitude because we know that each day is a gift from God, that we've been given something that we have not earned? Do we, like the woman, recognize just the great magnitude of God's grace for us? And where are we allowing that gift of grace impact the way we see other people? It's going to be so necessary for us as we interact with the community to be people, who offer radical grace. Last Sunday, I was really excited to share some news with you. I'm going to share with you today. We've been talking about Care Portal here at church, the system that's set up to connect us with people in the community to be able to meet their needs and build relationship with them. Well, as of last week, our local Community Church Interaction Council, the CCIC, has officially adopted Care Portal as a tool for our community. And the CCIC is paying the licensing fee for both Cannon Falls and Randolph schools so that they can start this fall letting us, the people in the churches, know of needs that come up from the students. And the needs are many. We've talked to the school in Cannon Falls, and they said, we would love to have a way to communicate with you churches to let you know when things come up in the moment. Because by the time we get the word out, often those needs are gone, or we've lost contact. We need to have a rapid way of doing that. So Care Portal is coming to our community. And this is an answer to God's prayer. I've been praying that God would bring this to our community, and he's allowing it to happen. But one of the essential parts of making Care Portal work is grace. The trainer who has been training the CCIC on this system has said, you're going to be invited into people's homes, those whose lives are a mess. And you're going to be tempted to judge them for the way their house looks, for the way that they're living, for the way they're caring for their kids. You're going to be tempted to think these people need to get their lives together. And he said, you have to have grace. You have to go into these people's homes with love and acceptance. Be willing to just come and be God's hands and feet in their lives. That's the ingredient that makes this work, is grace. And allows us, creates an opening for us to build relationship with people. Care Portal makes that initial connection, but then it's up to us to follow up and say, hey, I would love to show you more love. I would love to get to know you. I would love to invite you in. That takes grace. We're going to have greater opportunity for it in this community moving forward. Are we a church that invites people to let their guard down? To not say, oh no, I've got to clean everything up and make it look good before these people come so that they think better of me? Are we going to be willing to let people just be who they are and be welcomed and renewed and just begin with where they are today? Are you known by those who see you, those who hear you, those who read what you write, as someone who is fueled by radical grace that lets people know that you are approachable and compassionate? Do you make it known that you are curious about people, regardless of their beliefs and actions? This is radical grace. God continues to issue this challenge to us to offer that grace. But before we go out trying to carry that grace to get to others, it's always important to let that grace fill us too, to remember how much we need it. We need that grace every day, every moment. The grace that Jesus pours into us is the fuel that enables us to provide it for others. We can't offer grace when our own tank is empty. So let's let every day, every moment begin with Jesus and the grace that he has for you. Let his grace wash over you. Open your life up to him even more than you already do. Let his grace pick you up from where you are and fill you up. And let his grace flow naturally from you. Let's be a people who are fueled by that radical grace of Christ. That grace saturate your life, your family, your workplace, all the spaces where you show up. Let grace fill those spaces in every interaction that you have. Let there be no doubt that you are someone who is approachable and willing to invite people into your life and to have grace for them. It is through this grace that we reflect the heart of Jesus and invite people in. Grace is what transforms our world. Let's give thanks to God for the grace that he's given us. Let it fill us up today so that we can overflow with it into the world. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you as people who know that we fall short of who you want us to be. And I pray that you help us not lose sight of that. We don't want to dwell in our sin, Lord. We're not going to reject or ignore the gift that you've given us. We do embrace and we give thanks to you for your grace, but let us not forget that we depend on your grace each day. None of us is beyond the need for your forgiveness and your acceptance and welcome. We have all fallen short, Lord. Fill us up today with your grace and love. Remind us of the power that grace has in our lives. Fuel us again to be transformed by you in new ways. And as you fill us up, let us be like that woman who cried on Jesus' feet, who couldn't stop kissing him out of the love she had for him. Let us have that kind of gratitude for you so that grace may spill out of our lives into every interaction we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.